Thanks for listening to the Voice Ministries podcast. To get more information about Voice, or if you were blessed by this message and want to sow into our ministry, go to our website at voiceministries.com.
We kind of want to get in to the message here tonight and share a few things, but before we begin, last week we were really talking about being before the Lord, listening, and we took 20 minutes to just sit before the Lord, and we had Dave Carey just play some background music so that we could hear and listen. Now, some of you, that was the first time journaling. Some of you may have heard some things from the Lord. Some of you may have not, and that's okay. It's an exercise. It's pressing in and to learning. But for those of you that had, not a whole book written, okay, but those of you that had something that you heard last week from the Lord during that time, would you be able to read it? If you just raise your hand, I'll bring the microphone over. If you have something that God shared with you, anybody want to read it? Come on, you guys can't be shy. You want to read what you got? Go ahead. Hey, we're not going to eat right now. That's okay.
So the way that we did it, we're writing like a prayer that we're thankful for.
Amen, amen. That's awesome. That's awesome. That's awesome. That's really good. And you know, from last week to this week, it's been a week, and other things can happen, and other challenges can come. And when we heard that, last week we were hearing from the Lord. I seen the excitement on people's faces because they were beginning to hear. That was one day, that was one moment that we took 20 minutes to just wait upon the Lord and listen. And so that exercise needs to be happening each and every day. Someone else want to share? Anybody else? Okay, what'd you have?
I don't need the mic.
Okay, all right.
I just wanted to sit there and like pray for Team Challenge and Andy Bowman and Joshie. And me and Andy Bowman, we bumped heads a couple of times. Got some arguments at the office. But I want to thank him because he's really pushed me through. And I don't know, without Team Challenge, I'd probably still be out there, you know, doing drugs and living my whole life. So I just want to thank you guys for giving me the opportunity to come to Team Challenge and give it a shot.
That's awesome. That's awesome. That's awesome. That's good. Real good. The Lord set you up, didn't he? He's got you set up, man. Anybody else? What they've heard from the Lord from journaling last week? Anyone else? Do you have something? Okay. Go ahead.
Okay, yeah, I don't.
You don't need it? You don't know. Nobody wants this thing, man. It's not that, it's really not that terrible. Anyone else? What did you hear last week when you took that time? Go ahead.
When they handed the notebooks out to us, they said, ask the Lord what color you want to wash.
Yeah.
And it was just that
was an orange in there.
There was an orange one there. An orange is my favorite color. I thought, I have to ask him, though. This is my favorite one. And when I sat down, the Lord said, I care about you. I care about the color of your
neck. Right. Yeah, it was real huge. That was real huge. And we've talked about this. Sometimes we think things are insignificant, and they're huge to the Lord, and they're huge to us. And so we can't bypass things, because God may speak in some small way, and it may just be so impacting in our lives that it changes our lives hugely. That's God. That's how it happens. If you notice something tonight, and every night that you've been here on Tuesday, we've been worshiping, and our focus has been completely, absolutely on Him. I mean, I could have got back there behind the drums, and we could have done all different things, but our focus is just to be before the Lord and get your gaze upon Him. Because many times, we can get so enamored with the music that we're more focused on the music than focused on Jesus. So I told the worship teams, I said, make sure everything we're doing on Tuesday night, Transformation Tuesday, is causing our gaze to be on Jesus so that we can learn to soak in that and be in that environment. And not have to have, not that good, I love good praise music and warring music, I love that, but we need to develop relationally with God and intimacy with God on a daily basis so that this is how we live our life. Because you've got a long life to live. Amen? Somebody say amen to that one. You've got a long life to live. And you can have an experience, or you can even have an instantaneous healing, and that's awesome, but you have so much longer to grow in the ways of God. I had several conversations today, and one of the things that I wanted to say tonight is that this idea of being healthy, this idea of connecting with God, this idea of listening to Him and allowing Him to speak to you and begin to journal, this is a lifeline for you to walk out your destiny in God. And I'm telling you that this isn't taught a lot. Everyone says to be intimate with God. But there's exercises and things that we need to do so that we can become intimate with the Lord. And this is one of those things, to journal and to listen and to hear. And when you go through healing, God will surprise you in the healing aspect of things. And thank God that there's facilitators, there's counselors, and those that do therapy and know different things about taking people through problems. But here's the thing, once you get saved, once you get healed of a moment or a pain that you're suffering in, once you go through that, you've got every day to live for God. And we have got to train people, equip people, of how to really become a community. We talk about community. And I've struggled with this my whole life. And many times people say they come to church and they don't know anybody. Or they know a few people. God wants you to be connected to people in a relationship in such a powerful way that not only does your connection with Him, Jesus, the Father, and the Holy Spirit, is a lifeline to you, but the connection that you have with the body of Christ and the family of God. When we get together like Teen Challenge, or you talk about YWAM, or you talk about different organizations that are together continuously, and they're living together, and they're learning how to do community. And it is hard, because everybody's stuff comes up, okay? And we get triggered, just like what he said about bumping heads. We bump heads all the time with everybody. It happens all the time. And then when we do that, we're not in such a relational position with God or with one another. We don't know how to navigate and work through those situations, because we're trying to do it on our own, and we're not doing it by the counsel of God or the Holy Spirit or hearing God's voice on a continual basis. Does that make sense? And so every day we're trying to hear more of what God's trying to say to us and trying to grow and trying to become a family or a community that really can be there for each other. Now, whether you're part of this church, another church, it doesn't matter. The fact is this. If you want to thrive in the ways of God, if you want to grow, if you want to mature, because when it says be perfect as I am perfect, if you want to mature, you're going to have to find not only your connection with God on a daily basis, but you're going to have to find a connection with the family of God. Do you hear me? You're going to have to find it. And it's going to have to be genuine. And it's going to have to be authentic. But it takes time for that to happen. And most people don't have the time for that to happen.
I've been massively guilty of that. But God's wanting you to understand, if you want a healthy family, if you want to get back and have a healthy lifestyle, you can't run from things, because sometimes when we have trauma in our life and pain in our life, it causes us to run from things or to run from people. Or to have, say you're going to meet with a family member and fear comes up in you because you're meeting with that family member because there's been some, you know, you've been at odds with one another. God wants you to live from a place of love and not a place of fear. And this is the key of becoming mature in the ways of God. And when you begin to see His heart about you and about others, you begin to have compassion and empathy for other people. Does that make sense? Because if you don't, like for instance, God will take you in a situation where all of a sudden you might have been hurt by somebody, how they looked at you or how they treated you. And then all of a sudden the Lord will show you the compassion that God has for that individual. And even that compassion that individual had for you, and all of a sudden you have a completely different view of that person that you were at odds with, or that you feared, or that you didn't even want to be in the presence of, or you felt shame when they looked at you a certain way. And God showed you His love for them. And guess what happened? Your compassion comes up for those people. This is interactive gratitude, but this is also growing in relationship with God and with one another. Man, in the midst of pain, yeah, I'm all over the place. I'll go to my notes in a second. In the midst of pain, when we're in a painful situation, God is wanting us to grow so much in the place of love, in the place of joy, that we can function in joy, not only when everything's joyful, okay, but when everything is in a place of chaos and pain. God says, I'm going to teach you how to function and still live in your identity in the midst of pain so that you're not just yanked around all over the place. Jesus gave us this example. When Jesus was in the garden, He sweat blood, right? He sweat blood and He was like, is there any way? He knew that His death was imminent. But is there any way that I can get around this and don't have to go through this? And there wasn't. Because why? He wanted to do the Father's will, right? So in the midst of this great pain and this great sweating, Jesus, because He wanted to do the Father's will, they get ready to leave and the soldiers come. And what do the soldiers do? They apprehend Him. And what does Peter do? He cuts off the ear of the soldier. And Jesus speaks in the midst of His pain and His agony, He speaks from His identity with the Father. And He says, if you want to live by the sword, you're going to die by it. And then, listen to this. Out of His pain comes His compassion. And He picks up the ear that was cut off and He puts it back on His head. That even in the midst of His agony, He could function in compassion. This is what the Lord desires for. And if you say, whoa, that's a far stretch. This is what the Lord desires for us. To live in a joy base with God in such a way that we can respond through this intimacy. Through knowing Him, that it begins to happen where all of a sudden we can love maybe family members we could never love before. When somebody comes into a room and they just are ready to just almost slime you with their words, the compassion rises up in you because of your intimacy with God, and you understand exactly where they're coming from. And you understand the enemy in the process of wanting to slime you and destroy you, and you have compassion for them because you realize this is not coming from God. This is coming from their pain, where they're hurting. And then you begin to pray. There it is. You know, Matthew 5, 6, and 7, the Sermon on the Mount. You begin to pray for them and intercede for them. This is where God wants us to live. This is how we're supposed to function as a family, as believers, as community. If you're not in a community, I'm encouraging you to get in a community. If the community is just beginning, or the community is beginning to teach what it means to live in joy, and it doesn't matter if it's small or big, but somewhere, someplace, we've got to be connected with God and connected with one another, or we will not make it. You cannot isolate yourself and do your thing. Really, by isolating isolating yourself, it's not wisdom. You isolate yourself, and that's exactly what's going to happen. Why does he say, you know, don't forsake the assembling of one another together? He knows that if you get together in him, and you're all willing to allow him to have his way, he knows healing's going to take place, and you're going to begin to love each other. And you love each other because you're validated from an intimate relationship with Jesus. You're not loving each other just to gain favor. Okay? Because many times we will say things to gain things. Some of us are glory hunters, you know. We just want to go where the glory is or where somebody's at so that we can say that we're identified with that. I'm telling you that there is more glory to be found in your intimacy with Jesus and with other people than you realize. And it's available to you. It's available to me. But we have to stay on the healing track. We have to learn to suffer well. That's what Jesus did in the garden. He suffered well. In the midst of his suffering, he was able to still maintain his compassion. That's huge. That's huge. And some people say, whoa, I'm a faith person. Don't even talk about suffering. Let me explain something. Let me go over this thing. Let me explain something. I don't care who you are, where you are. In your life, there is going to be times that you are going to suffer. Because that's a sinful world in which we live. And matter of fact, in the suffering, in the challenge, consider it all joy of the trial that you're going through, God will use it to grow you up, to mature you, so you can function at a whole different level in him because you've embraced him in the midst of the trial, in the midst of the suffering. Because there's seasons. There's seasons. There's this tension in life, and there's these seasons. And when the season gets a little rough or painful, we walk away from it. God's saying, I want you to learn how to suffer well by being connected to me and connected with one another. What does it do for you? What does it do for you? That if, and just you can maybe recall something where you've been in a painful place or you went through something and all of a sudden you feel all alone and nobody's there for you. And then you feel like God's not even there for you. What is that? What does that feel like? Guess what that is? You can identify. That's called trauma. When all of a sudden you feel alone and no one's there, you feel trauma. And you have fear that you don't want that to happen again. And if you isolate yourself from people, now guess what happens? Now it's not just trauma, you're traumatized. And you're trying to get out of a hole. God wants you not in a hole. He wants you healed. And he wants you to learn how to walk even through suffering. I'm all about healing. This is about healing. This is about being free. This is about transformation. But the transformation of renewing your mind and living and walking in truth and relationship and connectedness with God and with one another, it has everything to do with you walking through the good times and walking through the bad times. What if I'm so intimate with Jesus, and he begins to heal me of my trauma or my pain or the things in my past. And all of a sudden, things begin to happen around me, and I can relate to somebody completely in love, which normally they would trigger me, and I would want to, you know, take their head off. I mean, it's true, you know. What if that I live in that relationship, and then I begin to find the value of it, and I begin to find the blessing of it? And then I say, why didn't I do this so long ago?
Amen.
Amen. Because this is the life of Christ. It was never, ever, ever meant to be Sunday or Tuesday or Wednesday. It was meant to be your life. Every day. Every day with the Lord. You can't, if you don't have that, you become, man, you're going to get trashed. I'm just telling you. The enemy will not waste time to trash you. And that's why it's so important to be connected. When we talked last week, boy, see, you guys got me not using the microphone now. When we talked last week, we were talking about living in his presence and walking in his love. And that last week was gratitude and thankfulness opens up the presence of the Lord. That was a big deal. And I feel like this preach thing is on me tonight more than any other night that I've, since we've been here. And I really feel like God is wanting to drive some of this home. That you look at this again. But you look at it in a different way. And when we say that, you know, at the beginning, if you look at page one, we'll kind of run through this real quickly. And I'll highlight just a few things. We won't go through all of it. But when I was talking about us accessing the invisible power, the real power of God's loving presence, number two, I said it's gratitude, the password to get into your email. Or gratitude opens up the presence of God. When you begin to thank Him, it opens up His presence to you. That means every day. That means it doesn't matter, day or night, in the middle of the night. That's what it's talking about. Why gratitude? Because it's the quickest and easiest path to connect with God. In 1 Thessalonians 5:18, it says, in all things give thanks to God. And that means all things. And so as we're learning to become equipped, we've got to realize, I need to pull away and listen for God. I need to write some things down of His heart. And some of you in here might say, you don't know what I've been through. You don't know what's happened to me. I'm telling you that He does, and He will help you through absolutely everything you've been through. And He will speak, and He will lead you, and He will bring you freedom. Because of His presence, because of His word. And then I talked about, a track of healing, seasons of healing. Different things shift in your life. The big six, sadness, anger, fear, shame, hopelessness, despair, disgust. If these things are always functioning in your life, and you go in and out of this cycle all the time, aren't you at a point where you just get fed up with it and say, you know what, I'm not going to live this way anymore? Because I'll tell you straight up, when you have those kind of emotions and they're ruling and reigning in your life, what's going to happen is you're going to find a way to deal with them. And if it isn't Jesus, it's going to be something else. It's going to be your behavior. It's going to be you experience something else so that you kind of can get away from the pain or all that stuff. Or it's going to be an addiction. It's going to be something. It might be with family. Who knows what it is? But if you do not deal with that, those emotions, and let Jesus bring healing, then you're a candidate to live in not a victory cycle and a circle, but continually fighting day in and day out and just trying to make it through. And being on an emotional roller coaster is not where you want to be. Not where I want to be. Rooted and grounded in the place of love. And so you can deal with these. Look at A under there. It says, a feeling of gratitude returns our minds to relationship with God in times of these unpleasant emotion and other forms of suffering. The reason I put that down and said that is this. There are instantaneous moments where God will free you up of a certain emotion. And you'll get freedom in that area of your life. You might not even know it was there because Jesus speaks to you and brings healing. But again, the rest of your life is to be lived out. That's just one healing. And this is why I love the fact of counselors. I am one. I love it. I love being in the presence of the Lord. But here's the thing that I've learned. And I'm sharing this with you after all these years. After all these years of healing. I mean, 20 years of being in the trenches, of seeing all kinds of different ways of healing. This is what I've learned. And I'm sharing it with you. That instantaneous healing is awesome, and sometimes it's like a springboard. But I'm telling you this, if your lifestyle isn't living on a daily basis in that, that instantaneous healing will begin to wane, and next thing you know, you're going to be back into the junk you were into before. Do you hear me? I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to help myself. I'm trying to help the church. Because of the fact of this, we need to be a healthy group of people. We receive that healing, it's awesome, but if we don't connect with God and connect with other people and begin to grow in relationship with God and with other people, we're going to end up back in the same old junk that we were in before. And God doesn't want that. God doesn't want that. He wants you free. This is about freedom in Him. In Him. So that gratitude, when it seemed like a simple thing just to take 20 minutes and begin to journal about what we're hearing from God. I'm telling you, it's no simple thing. The enemy quakes to the fact that you desire to hear the voice of the living God. And you begin to take it in, and it encourages you.
That was encouragement that day. I remember when you read it to me last week, and I could see the look on your face. Now you've had a week. You know, you went through other things since then. But that day, it was like, woo, I got, you know, I heard from God. But again, that was that day. That doesn't mean that you can't get some mileage out of that day, you know, because you can. But that's not how it goes. He wants to talk to you over and over and over again and speak to you about his love for you. Most people go, what the heck are you talking about? I just go to church. I believe in Jesus. What are you talking about? I'm talking about a relationship that is connected to the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit and is connected to the body of Christ. Why did Jesus do the 12 thing? He did 12 so he could pour into them. There were more, but it was a relational thing. And that's what he's saying to us. From Genesis to Revelation, it's all about relation. It is. Read it from that perspective. It's all about a relationship that God is trying to have with who? With Israel? Yeah? Who else? You. You. You are so special in the eyes. See, this is the fact. The enemy is doing everything for you not to tap into the identity of who you are so that you can rest in it. You don't need the affirmation from other people to give you validation. No, you rest in the fact that this is who I am in Christ. This is Christ in me. And all of a sudden, things shift and change. It's really a battle, man. If you don't have some kind of cultivating in your life, you don't have people pouring into your life, it's a battle. And you feel isolated right away. I can't wait to get to the joy part. We're not quite there yet. It might be 2 weeks that I hit the joy thing. But how joy... Do you realize that without joy, you're not going to probably accomplish much of anything? Joy is the fuel that causes you to begin to love the way that you need to love. The joy of the Lord is what? My
strength.
Why did he say that? Because it is. So, if you don't have the joy of the Lord, what are you? Weak. Okay? The joy of the Lord is my strength. Well, how do I access that? How do I live in that? How do I allow that to have its way with me? Last week I was with three different guys just spending some time and listening to Jesus. And I can tell you this, that when Jesus shows up, healing takes place. And when healing takes place, there is a peace and a release that happens. There is a joy that begins to happen. Because why? All of a sudden, you get a little freedom. Why does the enemy want to stop the prophetic ministry? Because he does not want anybody hearing the voice of the Lord and speaking life and encouraging people. That's why he wants to stop healing. He doesn't want us to be relational. That's why there's always a struggle in relationships. And I can tell you this, the relationships are not going to work. If you're waiting for somebody to blow your whistle and your ship's going to come in, let me just tell you, your ship is already in. And that's called Jesus. And the more you tap into him, the more better off you're going to be. Have I said that enough tonight?
No.
Woo! Okay. So we learn to practice gratitude because we learn to stay in our identity, who we are in Christ. Reviving our desire for relationship through practicing gratitude allows for easier and pleasant corrections with God and motivates us to practice more often. The Bible urges us to live in a state of gratitude. God not only encourages us to, but he commands it. And that's what I spoke earlier. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 talks about it. Look at number 5. Gratitude in the middle of difficulties allows us to have sight. Because if we're overwhelmed by the difficulty, we can't see anything anymore. It's all about us. It's about me. But if we have gratitude to the Lord, it gives us sight. We begin to see. We begin to practice gratitude in times of joy rather than in waiting until difficult times come. And when we practice that gratitude, when the difficult time comes, all of a sudden there we are again, thanking God. Thanking God.
Now, B, you're gonna have to make some changes. That was I wrote that out wrong. Over time, we can learn not only to live in gratitude during the joyful times, but it becomes easier during the difficult times as well. So that's you need to make that correction. When we develop a life of gratitude, it begins to feel like the presence of God and the goodness is continuously, and we're pursuing healing. It's in our pursuit of healing. Now look at number 6 there. This is a real powerful statement. I shared it last week, and I want to hit it again. Nothing shows weakness as clearly as weak memories of God's presence combined with strong memories of trauma. I want to read that again. Nothing shows weakness as clearly as weak memories of God's presence. That's why we're doing this. That's why we're doing it, to experience more of Him. And then if we experience Him, then when something comes our way, we pull on the memories of our experiences with God more than our trauma and what we went through. Does that make sense? That's how we're to live this lifestyle. Okay? A, it says, often overlooked, building memories of God's goodness is powerful in giving us a sense of being loved. He's going to know in that moment that God's love was stopping him from choosing something because God wanted him so much to be able to walk this thing out and walk his way in the ways of God. Okay? He's going to be thankful for that moment. And see, every one of us here is on such a journey that if we look down at the end of our nose at anybody and think we're any better, you're in bad shape. You are in bad shape. We are all on the training ground. And we are all learning to be more like Christ. And we should be encouraging one another for any tool that's being used, anything we're able to do through counseling or sharing or journaling. Okay. I want to go down to growing relationally, number 7 there. Two elements needed to grow a bond between two persons. I said you and God, but it's also you and others. Two elements to grow. And this is so powerful that I wanted you to really highlight it. Increasing quality of interaction. Increasing quality of interaction. Increasing frequency of these interactions. You're not going to grow in a bond with God if you don't increase the quality of your interaction. What you did last week was you took some time and you increased the quality of your interaction and you listened. And you allowed him to speak to you. Now, that needs to increase more and more. The frequency of it. The same thing in a relationship with an individual. Husband, wife, friend, family, it doesn't matter. That if you don't have quality and you don't have continual interaction, you're not going to grow in that area of your life. No? Kids, parents, all that. That is so needed. Remember this. It's always a prayer, having a conversation with God. It sounds simple. Too often prayer is a one-way conversation. Sometimes our prayers are filled with anxiety and one way. Oh, God, get me out of this. You know, and it's filled with this anxiousness. And we've never developed the other side of having quality time with God. And it's always a one-way conversation. That has to end. So we have, you know, there are times for that. And God's mercy, he'll move on you. I'll tell you, I've done that and he's moved, okay? But he wants to develop more of a connection and a relationship and talking. Is this helping anybody? Okay, is this like, this is to equip you to understand, okay, I need more of this. So that you can walk in the fullness of what he called you to do. Intimacy, go down to C. Intimacy is why it is so important for us to learn to listen to God's response. It creates intimacy with him. This is about developing trust in him. As we interact with him, we become more aware of our place in his kingdom and also within his heart. This is a skill to listen and to hear. When we are distracted by what? Pain. When we're distracted by pain or what somebody said to us, this is that moment. Talking without listening can bring momentary relief, but no real peace. That's what we're listening for, to have peace. When we talk too much and don't listen, we miss God, the giver of peace in all situations. Go down to D. You can read all that stuff later, but God's desire is to heal us, sometimes instantaneously, but most times healing happens as we practice loving interactions with God and with each other. You know, last week we had Dave Carey just set the environment. There's things on the internet that you you can get. Do you have that one thing of that one gal? This is one, Laura Woodley, I think is her name. I found this. This is like a soaking thing. This is what I listen to many times when I'm in my office or I'm just taking time. There's soaking worship without words, so that if the words distract you. Can you pull that up? Is it coming? Okay. This is just beautiful. And when you set things in this place, and all of a sudden you begin to hear. I just found this gal. She's just playing piano. She starts talking.
I come into your courts with praise.
What'd she say? Turn that up.
I'm so thankful. Try to show you how much I love you, God. With everything I have, I love you.
I can't hear what she said. What did she say?
Show God I love you sometimes.
You could keep playing that. That was really helping me talk. Because that's just how it is. Oh, is it? Okay. Yeah, all right. Well, I don't... Yeah, it's okay. So, let's go back to that thing. I was there, and when God did that, that moment changed everything within my life. That moment didn't set me... It redeemed me, okay? But my redemption is being worked out all these years. I was saved. I was filled with the Holy Spirit. But that moment changed everything. I could never, ever, ever get away from that experience that I had with God. And I'm telling you that God wants to do that with every one of you in this room. Maybe not like that. But He wants to increase more of His presence in your life. And you're going to scratch your head and you're going to struggle your whole life if you don't press that to hear His voice and let Him have His way. And when that happens, things shift. Things change. Pain causes us to run. Okay? It does. But we can flip that over and pain can cause us to kneel. And to come closer to hear Him. That's what you got. You guys are all Jesus. And cultivating that, this is what this is about. I've told this story so many times, but I remember I remember coming out of that moment, and I was, I'd been pretty rough, you know, and I remember there was a Dairy Queen not far from that church, and I remember walking to that Dairy Queen, man, and I remember everything felt different, and it was all because of Jesus and the presence of God. I believe, in that moment, somebody could have walked up and punched me, and I could have said, I love you. That's how goo-goo I was in that moment. Now that sounds weird, but it's true. I was just loving everybody. Every woman was my sister. Every man was my brother, you know. And I was like, I was flying. You say, well, that's an emotional moment. Yeah, it sure was. But guess what? What did I just try to teach us? Here I am standing up here. What am I doing? I'm referring back to a memory of God's presence that helps me maintain my walk with God. That's why it's so important for us to cultivate. I know y'all are tired. I know you had a long day. But this is why it's so important to cultivate this. Because the memories will increase and your strength in Him will increase. And no matter what comes your way, you're going to refer back to the memories that you've had with God. You're going to be able to get free of the pain through the truth that will set you free. And then you're going to begin to reflect that truth. And then you're going to begin to walk in your identity of what He's called you to be and to do. Because that's the journey. And you're going to love Him, and you're going to learn to love others in ways you never thought you could. It is not by your might or power, but by His Spirit in all things. I've got the rest of everything there, that those notes you can look through. And we talked through most of that stuff last week. Josh, I'm going to ask you to come up on your guitar for a little bit. Look at number 10, a vibrant relationship requires ongoing interaction with God and with others. I can't express that enough. I want you to highlight that. A vibrant relationship requires ongoing interaction with God and with others. And when I say with others, I'm talking about others that are pursuing God, that are in the family of God. I'm not saying you just interact with anybody, you know, because there's instruction about that. I'm saying interacting with the men and women of God, and you're going to grow. And so you have that right there, that step that we had last week that's in your notes, and you can use that step all week long on page 4. Now, all the ways that we are to stay relationally connected, the loss of connection with God and with others many times happens, and I've said this over and over with you, because of unresolved pain and trauma. that's happening to you, or there's tendencies of that, I want us to pray for you tonight. Because that's what we're supposed to do. And I want us to get free. Because you're not supposed to be disconnected or connected. When you get frustrated, have you ever had a phone call where you lose that you're really having a great conversation? And then you call back and the signal drops again and you get so frustrated, the other person gets frustrated, this is an important conversation, and all of a sudden you're so frustrated that you don't even try to connect again and it's just dropping. Okay, well, let me tell you, that's exactly why. If your connection has dropped and God is wanting to reconnect you again, this is an important conversation. That may not be what you need to do to hear God's voice. You may have already done that. You're hearing nothing. It's about positioning yourself before Him with open hands. So, Lord Jesus, I just ask that You would help us to troubleshoot areas in our life where we're lacking You in Your presence. Just ask You all for a moment to stand. Your desire is for us to grow and mature. Holy Spirit, just come. If there are those that are just struggling right now to connect with You, to hear Your voice, that there's been some kind of interference, Holy Spirit, will You just help them right now? To be able to hear Your voice, to recognize the source of the interference. God, I ask that You would help us to hear You tonight as we keep journaling and writing these things down that we're hearing. Yes, God. Some people in here are feeling alone. God, I ask for You to come. I just want us all to keep praying for everyone. And if you feel need, we don't have much of room up here, but if you feel need to be prayed for and you want people to pray for healing, physically, emotionally, spiritually, I just want you to come forward and stand as close as you can to the musicians, the music up here, anyone else. If you're feeling isolated, and for those of you that have been walking in the faith, this is your time to maybe reach out and to pray for your brother, your sister. Those that are pastors in healing ministry and prophetic, this is your time to come and listen. Speak life. Yes, God. Lord, I know that we've had long days. I just pray for those that can't wait to get out of here that You would just touch them real quick. Let them know Your desire for them to love You and to love others deeply. No longer can people be absent or God absent. God, I ask tonight that You would unstuck people if they're stuck tonight. God. Thank you. Thank you. God, help us all to have deeper compassion and empathy for others. I believe God's really inviting us tonight to just live the same way as Christ. God, you designed us to be a connection with you and not survive, but to thrive in you, God. So God, I pray from this day forward that you would begin to cultivate in every one of our lives life-giving relationships with you and with each other. Transform us, Lord. Help us. Yes, God. God, help us to mature, that we can make it through the challenges of life. Help us to mature and to live according to your values. We thank you, Lord. If you just sing over them for a minute. Yes, God. Everyone just keep praying. Just take this time. Ask the Lord to speak to you. Yes, Lord. Jesus, come and speak. Speak, Jesus. In this moment, bring healing. There's sadness, God. Anger, fear, shame, disgust, despair. God, come and speak, Jesus. What is it that you want to say to us? Yes, Lord. Yes. We thank you. Even in the midst of our struggle, we thank you. Thank you, Lord. It's okay. Intercede. Don't be looking around. Just let it happen. This is what healing does. Let it happen. Let it flow. So when you hear someone begin to weep and wail because of pain, what do you feel like? What do you feel like? Does compassion rise up with you? Intercession rise up with you? This is your eternal brother in Christ. Our eyes have to change how we see things. Does it create fear in you that something's going to get out of control? God wants you to be living from love and not from fear. In every situation, you can walk into a situation like this in the power of love. Demons are real. Demons manifest. They need to get out of the way in Jesus' name. Freaked out by the demon. Let me just tell you, they're stinking mosquitoes compared to the power of Jesus Christ. Okay? That's what they are. Well, that doesn't happen in my church. Okay, forget all that. So, forget all that. God is going to you. Tonight, Kathmandu, Jerry Reeder, 82 years old, is getting ready to go 2 weeks into the villages to minister and do seminars. And the pastor, apostolic pastor that's taking him into the villages, he came definitely ill with urinary tract infection and blockage, all these different things. Jerry calls me and says, it's an attack. Will you have everybody pray in that prayer room? The enemy wants to stop everything from the gospel advancing and for you advancing in the love of God.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Jesus. Lord, the last thing I want to pray. God, if it doesn't happen right now, I pray that it happens tonight or tomorrow, but that we are gripped with a holy fear and the awe of who you are. Thank you, Jesus. I pray that in Jesus' name, and I believe it's going to happen in Jesus' name. Yes, Lord.